We'll turn to Philippians 2. My message is called Epaphroditus Receives the Medal of Honor. Epaphroditus receives the Medal of Honor. Now, some of you may not know what the Medal of Honor is. We'll get into that in a second. But this idea came as I was studying Philippians chapter 2. Paul is talking about Epaphroditus, and notice verse 29, Philippians 2. So receive Epaphroditus in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. Honor such men. There are such men and women that are to be honored. And he goes on to say here, reason is because he nearly risked his life, or nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life. You see that? Risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So that's where I get the title from. Epaphroditus receives the Medal of Honor. There are such men, Paul says, to honor, to hold in high regard. And he says here, they risked their life for the work of Christ. So I'm bringing in this idea of the Medal of Honor because maybe it's something you guys know about. It's something in our culture that you can relate to. And maybe some of you, maybe some of the women don't even know what that is. I don't blame you if you don't. But men growing up, you hear this Medal of Honor. What is it? The Medal of Honor is the United States of America's highest military honor. It's awarded for personal acts of valor above and beyond the call of duty. That's what the Medal of Honor is. It is this award. If you're a soldier and you get that award, it's the highest award you can receive. It's the highest honor to be shown in such regard that because of your acts, they give you the Medal of Honor. Now, here's somewhere is to think about for the women tonight. Now, so this idea of living in such a way, risking your life for the gospel to be honored, is for men and women. It's for both. But here's something for women to think about throughout this. This message for you could be what to look for in a spouse. What to look for in a spouse. If you're a lady, this is one of the practical applications. Men, this message for you is this. It's the direction you should strive in. The things we're going to bring out about Epaphroditus, that's what you want to be striving for. You want to be such a person that Paul would say, Pedro risked his life for the sake of the gospel. Honor such men. They're such men that are held in high regard for their work for the cause of Christ. Now, in this military idea of the Medal of Honor, I want to read two examples of two people who received the Medal of Honor in the history, and they're stirring. The first is Corporal Jason Dunham, and this was in the Iraq War. This is briefly what his citation says. You know, when they give a guy a Medal of Honor, there's a citation that comes with it, and it explains why he received that high regard. And Paul, honoring Epaphroditus, we're going to look at it. He has a citation. Epaphroditus has a citation with why he's going to be honored. So Corporal Jason Dunham, this is in Iraq. Discovering seven Iraqi vehicles in a column attempting to depart, Corporal Dunham and his team stopped the vehicles to search them for weapons. As they approached the vehicles, an insurgent leaped out and attacked Corporal Dunham. Corporal Dunham wrestled the insurgent to the ground, and the ensuing struggle saw the insurgent release a grenade. Corporal Dunham immediately alerted his fellow Marines to the threat, aware of the imminent danger, and without hesitation, Corporal Dunham covered the grenade with his helmet and his body, bearing the brunt of the explosion and shielding his Marines from the blast. In an ultimate and selfless act of bravery, in which he was mortally wounded, he saved the lives of at least two fellow Marines. For that man died sacrificing himself for his fellow Marines. Put his helmet on the grenade, threw his body on the grenade, and sacrificed his life. The government says, honor such men. He died for the work in the military. He was given an honor, a medal of honor, though he was dead. And half of the medals given out are to people who are dead. Notice how it said a selfless act. Second one, Henry Brough. This is his citation. For heroism and devotion to duty while serving on board the U.S. submarine 05 at the time of the sinking of that vessel. On the morning of October 28, 1923, the 05 submarine collided with the steamship Abangarars and sank in less than a minute. When the collision occurred, Brough was in the torpedo room. Upon reaching the hatch, the top, he saw that the boat was rapidly sinking. So you're at the top of the hatch, you see the boat is rapidly sinking. Instead of jumping overboard to save his own life, he returned to the torpedo room to the rescue of a shipmate whom he knew was trapped in the boat. Closing the torpedo room hatch on himself, Brough and Brown remained trapped in this compartment until rescued by the salvage party 31 hours later. And this man, alive, received the Medal of Honor. If you picture what they saw is full of valor and honor. He could have escaped and for sure saved his own life, but he knew men were down deep, so he closed the hatch, lest he escape and it flood and they all die, and he went back and locked himself in a sub as it sank to the bottom of the ocean. 31 hours later, they were rescued, and he ended up living. And the military says, honor such men for that selfless act of laying down his life for others. He didn't have to do it. He could have hopped out, saved his own life, and let everyone die, and he didn't do that. So those are two examples. You'd be amazed how many people received a Medal of Honor for hopping on a grenade and letting themselves die. A man, Michael Mansour, he was up in this top area in Iraq. He was a Navy SEAL, and the grenade was thrown. It bounced off his chest, and he was by the stairs. He could have escaped. There's three other men up there. He was the only one who could have escaped, and rather than do that, he hopped on the grenade and was blown up and died, and the other men lived. So the government says, honor such men. They gave their life, or were near to death, for the sake of another person. And you know what? You can watch these videos of it and you can, may put tears in your eyes and you can look at that and say that is honorable. And in a sense, there's something honorable about laying your life down for someone. But we're not talking about the U.S. military today. Epaphroditus was not in the military. Now, all of us as Christians, we are in the military in the Lord's army. And there is a conduct as a soldier of Christ that is worthy of honor. Paul says that right there in Philippians 2. Honor such men. There are such men and women who are to be held in high regard and honor because they risked their life for the sake of the cause of Christ. That's what I want to call all of you today too. To live such a life. I mentioned that thing at the beginning about who to look for in a spouse because different people talk about marriage these days. That's what you want. Whoever you marry, you want them to be such a person honored who risks their life for the sake of the gospel. So, these people went above and beyond, meaning they weren't content with what? The status quo. They selflessly risk their lives and they receive honor. This same word honor, it's high regard. In Luke 7, it says, "A centurion has a servant who is sick and at the point of death, who is highly valued by him." Highly valued. We want to be highly valued, right? No one goes through life wanting to not have value. Now, in the pursuit of being highly valued, it can be selfish ambition and a sinful pursuit. It can be full of pride and vainglory. But what does Romans 2 say? Those who seek honor and immortality. There is a place as Christians we want to seek the honor and ultimately immortality of being with Christ in heaven. Those who endure to the end will be saved. We're in a race as Christians. So, why liken honor such to the Medal of Honor? I had to ask that. Why would I bring up the Medal of Honor tonight? And these are a couple thoughts that came to my mind. People can hear a Medal of Honor testimony and weep, and they want to join the military. I know some men who want to join the military, and they have such an ambition, getting the Navy SEALs, and I'm not saying that's wrong. That could be God's will. But they see that glory. They see, that's a glorious pursuit in my life. I remember hearing about Pat Tillman. He was a famous NFL football player, made millions of dollars. And when 9/11 happened, he quit the NFL, joined the Army Rangers, and went to Iraq. When I heard about that, when I was 18, I wanted to join the Marines. It felt like the most honorable path I could take in my life. And I remember watching a video of his and just crying and thinking he would sacrifice an NFL career to serve his country. There was something noble about it that gripped me. There's something more noble about Epaphroditus that should grip us. I don't want you guys to hear some testimony like Pat Tillman and be wrongly deceived to think that's the greatest pursuit and ambition in my life. There's something greater, the cause of Christ, the eternal kingdom, that's far greater than anything earthly and temporal in this world. Ours is not a lesser cause, it's a greater cause. I also don't want some earthly award like that to seem so great as if a believer is getting a smaller prize. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9?
We're not getting a perishable crown.
Yeah. They do it to receive a perishable. I mean, think about it. How many people, they get a gold medal, they get a medal of honor, and it perishes at the end. What's the big thing in the end of this life? It's not if you had honor before men. But it's, am I right with the living God? Am I in Christ? That's the big issue in life. We've got to realize that. But Paul said that. We, an imperishable, it's never going to perish. The wreath for running the race for Christ is never going to perish. Another reason I compare this idea of Epaphroditus being honored with the Medal of Honor is I know young men who aspire for greatness in this earth, and I want you to aspire for greatness in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, I know a brother, he's so dear to me. And there just a season of his life, it seemed like he just saw the military route as there was more glory. More glory than that of just being a servant for Christ. We don't want that to deceive us. You don't want any ambition in life to feel like there's greater greatness going that route. All of those things are going to leave men and women empty in the end. There can be noble causes. An emotional story of someone sacrificing themselves should drive you. There's a true story of a man who sacrificed himself that it should cause you to weep, and it should drive your entire life. Who is that man? The Lord Jesus Christ. And as Tim preached on at the conference, the love of Christ constrains me. Why? Because a simple conclusion. Paul concluded that the Son of God laid down His life for him on the cross of Calvary, and Paul says, I die to myself. I no longer live for me. I'm living for His sake, who died and rose again on my behalf. So honor such men as Epaphroditus. Now, there are such men to be honored, implying there are some who are not to be honored as much as others. That shouldn't trouble us as Christians. What does Jesus talk about? Some bear how much fold? 30? How much? 60? How much? 100? I mean, we all have to be stewards of what God has given us. There is that sense of rewards when you come to the New Testament. And that could sound troubling. Even when Paul says, I run as if only one man wins. It's like, what? Am I competing with all of you guys? Well, not really. Because you know how you get to the end? You bear one another's burdens. I'm competing to outdo myself in loving you all, because the last will be first and the first will be last. So let's look at Philippians 2. If you just got here, we're Philippians 2. We're talking about Epaphroditus receives the Medal of Honor. Now his medal is one that is imperishable, not like the highest reward the military gives, which is perishable. Now you see that, verse 29, honor such men because he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life. Now let's think of that. Risking his life. I don't know about you, I like that phrase. Risking his life. Risk. What's risk? Say again?
Putting danger.
Yeah, putting oneself in a position of danger. I mean, that guy who threw himself on the grenade, he put himself in a position of danger. Mortal danger. Risk. It's putting yourself in the place of possible loss. Financial loss. Loss of time. Loss of your life. Risk. It's putting yourself in the place of suffering harm. What did Paul say? Why are we in danger every... not day. Hour. Hour. Imagine, Paul, why am I in danger every hour? What am I doing this for, guys? He was saying that to them. Paul faced many deadly perils. A peril. That's a really risky place to be in. It's to be near death. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, I'm often near death. Paul is a man to be honored. He risked his life for the sake of the gospel. Think about a woman who risked her life for the sake of the gospel in the Old Testament. Many women did. What's one woman? Who said, I mean, boy, she went before that king and said, if I perish, I perish. Esther. She risked her life for the sake of all the Jews. And the king maybe would not have extended the scepter. She would have been killed on the spot. But she, in faith, Mordecai encouraged her. She went and said, if I perish, I perish. Esther is such a woman to be honored for risking her life for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament, to keep that lineage going, and eventually the promised seed, Jesus Christ, came. I mean, you think about risking your life. It can sound kind of grim, right? For the Christian, death is entry to paradise. So risk and danger is only putting yourself in a place of possibly being outside the door of that paradise with Christ. Who does Romans 16 say risked their life? Romans 16:4, Prisca and Aquila, husband and wife, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. Honor, we should honor them. To risk your neck is to lay down the neck. It's to lay the head on a block, to be cut with an axe, or to bow down the head is when the neck was exposed to be cut off by the sword. Okay, if someone puts their head on the chopping block and that axe might come down, don't you hold them in high regard? I mean, you think, honor that person. Honor that person for risking their life. So Epaphroditus risked his life. But what did this guy do? He probably did something so out of the ordinary that none of us can relate to it. This message is probably, it's not going to have any application for any of us, right? I mean, this guy probably went before 5,000 Roman soldiers and risked his life. No. What did Epaphroditus risk his life doing? completing what was lacking in your service to me. Look at Philippians 4. This man is being honored for risking his life, and that can sound, you know, you hear Medal of Honor, throwing yourself on a grenade, you hear about Esther, I perish, that can feel like that's so far away, but it's not. Look what he did. Philippians 4:18. Let's see. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Wait a minute. You're saying honor such men who risk their lives bringing a gift to someone? That's all he did? He was a messenger? And you're saying hold guys in high regard? Notice, what's the thing to be held in high regard? It wasn't necessarily what he did. It was his willingness to be a servant and in love risk his life to bring a gift to Paul, who was in prison. And some commentators would say what happened was Epaphroditus, who was sent from the church at Philippi to Paul in prison, on the way there, he got physically sick. And rather than throwing in the towel, he, out of love for brother Paul in prison, and here he's got a financial gift and a message, Epaphroditus pressed through and made it all the way to Paul in prison. And he gets the gift, and now Epaphroditus is sick, maybe with the flu, back in a day where you did not have medicine to help you, and there he is, maybe going to die. I mean, who was it? John Bunyan. He went to go get a father and a son reconciled. He got a cold on his horse and died. He's just riding his horse out of love to help a dad and a son get reconciled. And he got a cold and he died. The guy who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. But notice, Epaphroditus, he did something we all can relate to. He did a simple act of service. He took a gift to Paul in prison. I mean, that's not out of the ordinary. So remember that. I want you guys to take this personally. You don't have to go get martyred to risk your life for the sake of the gospel. You can take a gift to a guy in prison and get a cold on the way and almost die and be held in high regard because of your selfless act of sacrifice, just taking a present to someone. That's encouraging. Amen? So to be said of me, honor such men, honor such women, what is something that must be true of you? Well, the first thing we already hit on is this. It's not about public gift. It's not. It's about a servant attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul already dealt with in Philippians 2. Look up a little further. He's just given Epaphroditus as an example of what we see in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. You want to get a medal of honor in the Christian life, the highest reward for your valor? Have that mindset in verse 3 and 4. And you know who had that mindset? Look at verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves which is in Christ Jesus. Christ had a selfless servant mindset. And that is honorable. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He says, follow me, serve. You guys want to be held in high regard? Be a servant. Wash men's feet. Take gifts to men in prison, get sick on the way, be willing to put yourself in danger of a cold, or even, maybe I should add with Epaphroditus, when you go give a gift to a guy in prison in Rome, it's not like Epaphroditus just gets there and they kind of say to him, oh, you know, no big deal. They probably beat him or kicked him. You guys read about Chad today? Who read the email about Chad DeVoe? Okay, not a lot of people. Okay, I mean, Chad DeVoe, I mean, I was reading that email, I was like, wow, this is crazy, all that happened. I mean, I should think I have it. Yeah, I mean, Abir is a Christian from a radical Hindu family, and he's part of a church in Jorhat, and Chad, Ruth, and Brandon went up to visit Abir because Abir's dad died, and the family is pressuring Abir to do all these ceremonies and to that worship a false god. And as a Christian, he's saying, no, I'm not going to do that. So look what happened to Chad. Chad returned with Abir. So they're all meeting and praying, and Chad figures, I'm going to go with Abir to his house to meet his mom, to get to meet her. Good desire, right? Go with the brother, kind of like Epaphroditus going with Paul, or going to the prison. Maybe these Roman guards are going to put chains on Epaphroditus. Chad returned with Abir to his house yesterday. He was planning to just stop in and say hello, and meet especially his mother. When Chad went inside, though, they were being very unkind and insulting him, interrogating him, and even tried to take away his phone and search it. At one point, for around 15 minutes or so, they locked him inside their house and wouldn't let him leave. Abir's police officer brother-in-law came after that. He was very angry and was swearing and saying wicked things to Chad and punched him in the chest. Then he pulled out his superintendent of police card, showed it to him, was threatening to make a false claim against him that he came to rape the ladies that were there, and he would have him stay in jail until Chad's beard grows gray. One of his sisters is wanting to take a picture of Chad to use somehow against him, but thankfully that didn't happen, and they didn't get his information. At last, Chad was able to leave at probably almost midnight. The brother-in-law kicked him as he was leaving. Abir is still there. He told us yesterday he'd come today, but we haven't heard from him. They feel as if the believers are trying to destroy their family by forcing their influence on them, etc. Chad DeVoe, I don't think, thought he'd get punched today, having a high police officer in India threaten him that I'm going to make false claims that you came to try to rape women, and then as he's leaving the house, get kicked. I read that. I don't know how Chad responded. I'm assuming he responded in a sanctified way. In Acts 5:41, he left the council rejoicing that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. And who knows how Abir is doing. But you know what? We could look at that and we could say, honor such men. Hold Chad and give him some high regard for being willing. He didn't know he was going to get into that. Hopefully he's at home and rejoicing. But that's commendable. Just like Epaphroditus. I mean, no big deal. You're going with a brother to his house. But you know what? Chad knew. He had to know there was risk involved. Epaphroditus had to know there's risk involved. There was a point where they made a decision that they knew they're putting themselves in danger. What happens to us when we face that point? Do we want to protect ourselves? Or are we willing? You know what? I do that, I'm exposing myself to danger, that's fine. It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed. Both full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Why, Paul? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So, another example. This is how ordinary this can be. I want you to see how ordinary and honored a Christian can be, like Epaphroditus, just for seeking to risk their life and serve someone. That it'd spur all of us on to more of this. Jerusha Edwards, Jonathan Edwards' wife, famous theologian, 1700s. I forget where I got this statement. Jerusha Edwards, at 18 years of age, risked her health to care for the one in which she not only admired but also loved, David Brainerd, the famous missionary. She recognized and appreciated the love with which Jerusha showed him. He did. Just 4 short months after David Brainerd died, Jerusha Edwards died of an acute fever at 18 years age, after having only been ill for a week. This illness was mostly the result of her selfless care for Brainerd. Even Jonathan Edwards honored his daughter. He said she was so spiritually minded. We could say, such women are to be held in high regard. Honor such women who risk their life for the cause of Christ. Doing what? Taking care of a missionary who had a real bad fever, and they got the fever, and they die. That is a commendable thing to do, to risk your life to care for another person who's ill, who's sick. We don't want to despise that. Now, we talk about risking your life. It's got to be for the right cause. It's got to be. Look what Paul says, Philippians 2. He nearly died for what? The work of Christ. So he's risking his life for a certain cause. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, if I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain what? Nothing. Paul is saying, if you get burnt at a stake alive, and they say, but have not love, what does that mean? I think what it means simply is, but not, have not true love for God. Not a Christian. You can give your body to be burned at a stake, and it's worth nothing. So we're talking about risking our lives. That doesn't mean just because you risk your life, it's commendable. People risk their lives for dumb, worthless things. They put themselves in danger for that which matters not at all. I Googled risk, you know, someone risking their life. I was thinking, what is on the internet about what people are risking their life for? Listen to this one. Insane Russian teenagers risking their life to take sky-high pictures. They climb up on a tower with their selfie stick or their phone to get a picture to put it on social media. You know what happens? A lot of those people fall and they die. Is that worth putting yourself in danger for? Honor such men. They risk their life to get a selfie picture, which you'll get tons of likes on Facebook and get people to like them. No. I mean, that is a worthless cause. I can say that and I mean it. There's nothing eternal there. Nothing eternal there. Another thing, risking your life for hockey. This man, he's in college, and he found out he had a really bad heart problem. He could not play hockey anymore unless he had open heart surgery. That was a risky surgery, and he could die in the midst of the surgery. So he has an option. Risk my life so I can play hockey, or don't make a big deal out of it. In the interview, they said he loves hockey so much that he risked his life to play it. He didn't have to have a 12-hour open heart surgery, but he did it so he could play 2 more years of college hockey. The guy said, my family knew I was going into a surgery that wasn't certain, and they knew it was just for hockey. Guys, you don't want to risk your life for that. When eternity comes, it's not going to matter. Your golf swing, it's not going to matter whether you were a good hockey player or not. You don't want to live and waste your life for this world. Realize this. There is no greater cause in this world to live for than the cause of Christ. You will not find another. And here we are as Christians engaged in that cause. You don't want to get used to that. You don't want to feel like this is great. I'm a Christian. No, you are part of the greatest cause that has ever existed. There's nothing greater than the cause of Christ. Not only is there no greater cause, there's no other cause that ultimately matters. Yes, get a job. Work unto your bosses as or your masters as slaves and do it as unto Christ. Yes, do that. But in the end, the ultimate cause in life is for Christ, to live for Him, to serve Him. So here Epaphroditus is. Let's think a little more about this man. Honor such men. He got the Medal of Honor. He went above and beyond the call of duty. And in a way, he didn't go above and beyond the call of duty. What this man did is the call of duty for the Christian, right? Every soldier is called to die to themselves daily. Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke 9:27, 9:23? If you're going to come after me, you've got to pick up your cross and die when? Daily. every day, die to your selfish desires, live for the Lord, seek His kingdom. So this isn't above and beyond. But there is the 30, 60, 100-fold type thing as Christians. There are certain levels of fruitfulness. We don't want to forget about that. Here's something this. Look at verse 26. Look at this man's mature response to suffering. So he is sick, near to death, verse 26. Paul says, I'm going to send him back, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed. Now stop there. This man is distressed. Any of you guys get distressed? Probably, right? I get distressed. There's times I get distressed. Here a man is who's to be honored and held in high regard. I wonder what he was getting distressed about. Look what he goes on and says. He was distressed because you heard that he was ill. Epaphroditus was distressed, not because he was ill, not because he was ill and no one was showing him compassion, no one was seeing how he was doing. He was bent out of shape that people had to find out he was near to death. That is a high regard response. That is a noble, honorable response. When you see a guy, he's so unconsumed with attention for himself, and he's like, it's like, man, you had to tell that person I'm sick. They didn't need to know about that. I don't need them burden for me. I don't want to put myself on the spot, but at the fellowship conference, you know, I had a cold before the conference. I found it incredibly awkward that someone emailed the whole church saying I had a really bad cold. I saw that and I thought, one, I wouldn't say it's really bad. I thought, who put that descriptive word on there? And they're like, everyone texting, we're praying for you. And thank God, I was glad for prayers and the Lord helped. I do not want to despise the prayer for the saints, but it was kind of awkward. It's like, why do they ever have to know that? And they think, they think really bad. I think one guy was thinking, I was like collapsed on a bed, just snot, waterfall. And he sees me at the conference and it's like, oh, you're not that bad after all. Well, maybe it was part the prayers, but part it wasn't really as bad as it appeared to be. But it's right to feel little. There's something sanctified in realizing I don't have to tell everyone about every little problem I have and make to see if they're going to show me compassion and be distressed for me. And in the negative way, I know there's times I've been kind of a complainer and, you know, yeah, I'm not feeling that good. I've got such and such. And I kind of mention it to get pity. It's like when I used to play ball, if I was missing my shots, I would say, oh yeah, I hurt my ankle recently. I was trying to blame my missed shots that I had an ankle problem. That's pride. So Epaphroditus responds very well in suffering. That's commendable. He's distressed that others heard he was ill. Never forget that verse. Because when you're ill and you're distressed that no one cares about you, think about it in real life. Wait a minute. Not that we shouldn't care for one another. I'm not saying that. You guys know what I'm saying. But you got to love Epaphroditus' heart. Now, we've got what, 16 minutes. Let's notice briefly the five titles of the Medal of Honor winner, Epaphroditus. Look at verse 25. Epaphroditus, and he calls him five things. What's the first? Brother. Second. Fellow worker. Third. Fellow soldier. Fourth. Messenger. And the fifth? Messenger. Minister to my need. I thought that's interesting. Five titles. I don't have a whole lot on those five. We've kind of already dealt with some of them. Can those five things be said about you and me? Honor such men. Who? Epaphroditus risked his life. And Epaphroditus, Paul called him five things. Five titles. First, a brother. A brother. What does that mean? Well, those who do the will of my Father, Jesus said, are what? My brothers, my mothers, and my sisters. I think when you hear brother, you know what that makes you think of? This person, They're able to have intimate relationships with other brothers and sisters. They're a personable person. You look at them and you can say, they're my brother in the faith. They're my sister in the Lord. There's a sense there that they're not some isolated person, but they're able to get close to be like your own brother. So that's what came to mind. Anyone have any other thoughts on that? Brother. It means they're involved in a church. Brother, sister, they're in a fellowship, they're in community. So that was true of Epaphroditus. You can see his love for people, right? He's distressed, others feel he's ill. Clearly, this guy has got intimate relationships with fellow Christians. He's got close, deep relationships of fellowship around the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's important. Second, he was a worker. All that means is he is laboring for the cause of Christ. Are you laboring for that cause? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because all these things will be added unto you? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Paul's writing about partnering to further the gospel. Honor such men who are living a life furthering the gospel. That's their cause. If you say to... That's their cause. I remember reading about a guy, he died, and he said, my one regret in life is I only had one life to give for the United States government. Look, sure, there's some nobility in that, in a way, but that's nothing. I regret I only had one life to give for my government. Rather, Hudson Taylor said, if I had 1,000 lives to give for Christ in China, I'd give 1,000 lives for Christ. That's the right cause. So he's a worker, laboring for the cause of Christ. Notice he's a worker. He's not idle. There's some activity. Third title, a soldier. Look real quick, 2 Timothy. A couple books to the right. Chapter 2, verse 3. Epaphroditus is a soldier. Am I a soldier? Share in suffering as a good soldier. So soldiers suffer. Okay, Epaphroditus did that. Verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a job. Since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. You know what I think that entangled in civilian pursuits means? Doesn't mean you're not doing civilian pursuits, but it means those civilian pursuits don't entangle your heart and become a weight that so easily entangles, like Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 talk about. Meaning your job becomes your cause in life. Meaning your marriage becomes your cause in life. Your kids. It's wrong to say, I'm living my life for my kids. No, live your life for Christ. And in doing that, wives, love your husbands and children, Titus 2 says. Christ is always the first thing. So, a soldier, suffering for Christ, not getting entangled in civilian pursuits. Fourth thing, he was a messenger. A messenger right there, it means one sent forth with orders. I was trying to think, okay, what could I pull out of that? Well, one, think of this. Epaphroditus was willing to take a gift and submit and go take it to someone else. Are you all, am I willing to do such task as that? Or does that feel like a little small to you? Are you willing to be a messenger? Are you willing to take a gift? Are you willing to go to Iraq and unload a couple of boxes of clothes? What are you willing to do? To serve. He was a messenger. You know, you think about the mailman, right? The mailman walks by my house. What kid wants to grow up and be a mailman? Now, when you get older, you realize they have good pay and good benefits. You realize, wow, I can do that without a college degree. UPS, here I come. Whatever it is. UPS? USPS, here I come. No college degree, $20 an hour, benefits. And guess what? There are a lot of benefits in heaven. If you give a cup of water to a prophet, guess what happens? You will not lose your reward. A cup of water. Forget the verse, but that's in the Bible, folks. Last thing, a minister. A minister, that does not mean a pastor. We use that word, minister. He ministered to my needs. Again, this is all about being like Christ and simply ministering to people's needs. You want to be held in high regard? You want to be a man who wins the Medal of Honor? You want to be a woman who wins the Medal of Honor? Where people say, honor such person? Just simply minister to people's needs. Doesn't matter how small it is. A cup of water, bringing a gift to a man in prison, it doesn't matter how small it is. Giving people rides to a conference and back, opening up your home to someone, going out of your way to bring someone a meal. You know what that shows? It may not be seen by the world as a great act, but it shows a person wanting to be like Jesus Christ. And Christ is our example. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So can someone say these things to you? That's a brother, a sister. They're a worker. They're a soldier. They're a messenger. Boy, they're a minister to my needs. And yeah, they got sick and they didn't tell anyone about it. And they were distressed when I found out. And then someone posted it on Facebook and embarrassed them. And they thought, oh, why'd you tell everyone that? Not drawing attention to themselves. So, a couple thoughts in closing. Epaphroditus was a soldier of Christ, risked his life nearly dying for the cause of Christ. Honor such men. He was such a man who was held in high regard. This is the type of men and women you want to be. And again, one application was, sisters, that's the type of man you want to marry. Brothers, that's the type of woman you want to marry. And that's the type of men you want to be striving to be right now. And it's marked by service, by looking out for the interest of others, not being selfish. And I'll tell you, you guys who live in the Grace House are in a good spot to see if you're really going to live that out. And if you won't serve other men in this house in the small ways, you're not going to serve your wife like that. You could think, oh, I'll get married, it'll be so much easier to serve my wife. Selfishness is going to be the same there as it is here. I mean, I hold men in high regard who will clean toilets, who will wash the dishes, who will take out the trash, and do it without grumbling or complaining. If I had a Medal of Honor, I'd give that to you. Because it shows a heart wanting to be like Christ. I'm willing to wash your feet. We need to get that. You don't want to think of these small things of selfless service as minor. It shows what's really in your heart, your soul. The spiritual gifting is not the main issue. The right cause, the right mindset, maturely responding to suffering, not just in theory, but in practice. So a couple thoughts in closing. You don't actually ever have to be in danger, but the willingness to risk your life is there. You know what's scary about that? Who was willing to risk their life? And when it came, push came to shove, they didn't risk their life. Peter, I'll never deny you. Denied him 3 times. The issue is not, will I deny Christ or not? Will I risk my life and get put in prison? If you won't risk your life to serve people in the small things, you're not going to do it in the bigger. You're kidding yourself. Secondly, consider that there is an unbalanced, over-radical risking of one's life that is an extreme fatalistic mindset. Turn to 1 Chronicles. Now some may say I'm wrong in how I take out this text. I won't argue with them if they do. 1 Chronicles 11:17. The reason I have this is that one of the closing applications is as I'm calling you all to risk your life, I don't want someone to leave here and get some dumb idea that means, you know, I got to go hop in front of you know, physical danger. I think this has been balanced enough where no one's going to have that. But this is an interesting example. 1 Chronicles 11:17. And David said to his mighty men, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Now, the Bethlehem well is taken over by the Philistines. Bethlehem is not Israel's right now, okay? Then the three mighty men, broke through the camp of the Philistines. They busted in there. They drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. You can just picture them putting it in the cup or whatever they have. There was by the gate, and they took it and they brought it to David. But David would not drink it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the lifeblood of these men? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore he would not drink it. These things did the three mighty men. Now this is the point. I think David made a very rash statement, and those mighty men radically wrongly went in there to get the cup of water. And they get back, and David, you know, he kind of feel like a fool, right? It's like, why did I tell these guys to get water from there? This water, I mean, a cup of water from a certain place, and I risked three men's lives to get it. It's kind of like it dawned on David. That was really selfish and unloving. So to me, that was an example of over-radicalizing something and just being crazy about it. Does that kind of make sense? Kind of? Did I miss it? Maybe there's other applications there. Maybe the right application is you should be so willing to go drive 1,000 miles to get someone a cup of water from a certain store they want water from. You know, actually, when Bob, my father-in-law, was dying, we lived with him. He was dying of cancer, and he kept needing things. And someone brought up this verse about, let's be like the three mighty men, and if Bob needs, you know, some medicine from the store, we'll go and get it in the middle of the night. And so there's something noble about that. I mean, if you're the mighty men, you maybe would have said, "Are you kidding me? A cup of water from there? I'm not doing that." They did submit to David. But to David's shame, I think he realized, it wasn't worth risking their lives. So, third conclusion. You will only risk your life and be near to death if for you to die is gain. Look, if you don't have assurance of the love of Christ for your soul, if you're not a Christian, of course you're not going to risk your life for the sake of the gospel. Because you're scared if you lose your life, guess what? You'll go to hell. So exposing yourself to danger for the cause of Christ, putting my neck on the chopping block by Prisca and Aquila, I don't know about doing that. But if you believe to die is gain, to depart and be with Christ is far better, you know what happens? Your willingness is all of a sudden there. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's there. Romans 8, danger cannot separate us from the love of God. Danger, that's one of the things there. He says it cannot separate you from the love of God. It cannot separate you from the love of God. Look at this text even here. Look at Philippians 2. Epaphroditus didn't die. What happened? God had mercy on him. As you all go and seek to risk your life for the cause of Christ this next week, this next years of your life till the end, here's something to remember is, God is a merciful God. God had mercy on Epaphroditus and he didn't die. You're risking your life for a master who is merciful. That should kind of encourage you to take risk, right? He's merciful. This man was near to death. God, it says God had mercy. What does that kind of sound like happened? God healed him. God healed this man and he did not die. That kind of encouraged, I mean, I bet Epaphroditus after that was all the more willing to risk his life for the cause of Christ. Well, Paul said, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. You know, one of the most dishonorable things you can do is live for yourself. Don't be selfish. Look out for the interest of others. I mean, go above and beyond. And you'll find if you'll risk your life in the little things, it'll be a lot easier to do it in the bigger. And one day you might find yourself on the missionary field, and it won't be a dream. You'll actually be there, but because of your selfless service of being a messenger, of taking care of the sick like Jerusha Edwards, of taking care of the widow and the orphan, you'll find over there, you'll be able to lay down your life if it comes to actually dying for the cause of Christ. So, brothers, sisters, risk your life for the cause of Christ. Expose yourself to danger for the cause of Christ. I want, and I'm not saying I can't say this, I want to be able to say through observing your lives, as I want you to say about me, to say, you know what? I hold him in high regard because he risked his life for the cause of Christ. This isn't some selfish ambition. If you're a slave of Christ and a servant of him, don't you want to risk your life for the cause of Christ? Don't you want to honor the Lord with your life? And when you risk your life, you know what people see? They see that you really believe Christ is worth it, and they realize, man, that woman is living for a cause that is worth dying for. Who is this Lord Jesus Christ? And the Lord Jesus Christ is God, the Son, who left heaven above and died on the cross, and he satisfied God's wrath for us. And what did C.T. Studd said? He said, if Jesus Christ be God and he died for me, then no sacrifice I can make can be too great for him. Did I say that right? Yeah. No sacrifice. You'll never get to the point where you risk your life and you'll regret it for the cause of Christ. Or does anyone have anything to add? So yeah, you see something, the guy gets a Medal of Honor for laying on a grenade, putting his helmet on it. I mean, I'm not one to give honor where honor is due. And that is a commendable act of self-sacrifice. But I'll tell you, you give your body, the big issue is, are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? Give yourself for the cause of Christ. I mean, I thought, boy, it'd be nice to kind of, you know, they have like these Medal of Honor citation archives. We need to have like a Christian citation archives. And we do. We do. What chapter? Yeah, Hebrews 11. You want to go read some citations there? Got sawn in two? It says, or men and women who of the world were not, of whom the world was not worthy, we're going to say.
The story of Jonathan came to mind. Asking if you said anything. Because, like you said, Jonathan said before going up to meet the Philistines with his armor bearer, you know, if the Lord can save by much, he can save by little. And, like, that's the thing. In the face of overwhelming odds, when he risked his life for the sake of Christ, that the Lord, you know, blessed him. But there's a blessing that's there when you risk your life in ways that perhaps wouldn't necessarily be necessary. Albeit, obviously, like you're saying, not wanting to risk your life in a way that is contrary to some.
But that was a commendable act he did, and God, that's a good example. You could shrink back and be a coward, or in faith believe God.
So we have Jim Elliot.
Jim Elliot.
He's no fool who gives up what he cannot
keep. No fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
And when he died for himself. Risk with the Indians.
I know this study is not all about marriage. I mentioned it at the beginning because I want you to take that to heart. I really want you men to grow up in this specifically. it'll get you ready for marriage, and it'll actually make a sister want to marry you if they see a self-sacrificial attitude like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't need to wait 5 years and do a slow picking. You just determine that I'm going to risk my life. I'm going to seek to serve and go all out. Not for anything, whether I ever get married or not, but for Christ because He's worthy. But I really want you to take that to heart. There's too much selfishness in seeking one's own interest. And you want to be done with that. And we're all going to struggle with that. But we want to be radical. So, please think of that. There's so much joy in living for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for ordinary men like Epaphroditus who risk their lives for the cause of Christ. Lord, would You help us to risk our lives, to expose ourselves to danger for Your cause. Lord, specifically, help us to do it in the little things. Help our hearts to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, work that in all of us. Lord, do whatever it takes to make us like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.